Hi guys, welcome back to Lit Wallflowers podcast. I'm Wendy Wu.
And I'm Tony Rose.
We took a little bit of a break, so we are a little bit behind schedule. The one that you heard last week was actually recorded 2 weeks prior, and this one is a week late. I don't know how to explain that. But a lot has been going on, as a lot of you guys know, and we don't want to get into it. We are extremely just emotional and really just
upset
and just really broken, but we are bringing it up because we want to say thank you to everybody that's reached out to us and checked in with us. And you know, when we said that we're just taking a break to process everything, a lot of you guys were extremely supportive. And yeah, so thank you guys so much. We said this last week, and this was about the floods, actually 2 weeks ago now. But when you guys hear this episode, it'll be a week after the last episode came out. So, but the community and everybody that we've met on Instagram, on all of our social media platforms, we appreciate you. We love you, and we thank you for your undying support. And, you know, we've got an outpouring of emails and DMs, and we're still processing everything the best way that we can, but we are very thankful for you guys as well as books. So that was the only thing that helped us get out of this craziness that we're in. But Tony and I are balls deep in the Immortals After Dark, because it's so far-fetched. It's just straight up escapism for us. And we went from, I think I only read one or two, and we're like dead ass on like book 10, 11 now. So, it's so good. So thank you everyone for saying that we needed to read that. Thank you to Faded Maids podcast. And it's just so magnificent. I don't know what I did in my life before it.
When news hit, I went straight to the lore world.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I didn't want to think about much, but the lore. I was a Lorian. We became Lorians during this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just escaped to other books. I was able to finish 2 books that I was in the middle of, just to get away on top of what we needed to read. And, like, semi... like, not pay attention to the work that needed to be done.
I was a useless shell of a human last week. I couldn't record. I couldn't do anything. I was really lucky. I had a really light week of work. And then we had this big meeting on Friday. So I made sure I was rested and ready and went to bed at like 7 p.m. Because I just needed to be mentally ready for this, for the meeting. But besides all that, I went to take my placement test for school.
Yes. How did that go?
My dad is rolling in his grave right now. Guys, my dad is a mechanical designing engineer for NASA. I'm going to say is because, you know.
This top deal stuff.
It's like,
he's a rocket scientist.
He's just amazing. Meanwhile, his 39-year-old child went to go take a math placement test, and they were like, we're going to call you to discuss this on the side. Because, bitch, when was the last time you added something? But, I mean, like,
hey, they changed how to do math, so maybe that's the thing.
Yeah, let's just go with that. Which is probably not the truth, but I just like blanked out, and then the thing literally in red was circled that someone is going to contact you about your math placement test, and I looked at it.
Because you did so well, you don't have to take it anymore.
Terrible. It was so bad. I could not stop laughing. I called my best friend. I was like, bitch, you ready for a good ass laugh? She's like, what? And I was like, my math score was so low, they were like, don't call us, we call you. They were like, do you know how to work a calculator, ma'am? It was so bad. And then So the next couple of days, I was like talking to counselors and stuff like that. And she was like, you could actually take the math class that you need according to your other college transcripts. But, you know, just to set you up for success.
Is that what she said?
AKA, you dumbass bitch. How did you forget all of this math? And it's just so embarrassing because, like, they ask you what high school math did you finish at? And I'm over here like, calculus? Uh-huh. And now I can't even add fractions and figure out percentages? So I was like, I don't know if she just does, like, this a lot. But, like, I was like, she kept a straight-ass face. And she was so pleasant. And
she should have said, I was looking for the symbols and the letters.
I was looking for the square root of 9. I know that. It's 3. Why is there anything else that we need to... And then, like, yeah, so I was just... I've been joking with people. They're like, you're going to fashion school? And I was like, yeah, they're going to teach me how to turn on a computer and use a measuring tape. And they're like, oh, God. But I'm so serious. And then, like, when I got her on the phone, she was like, oh, you tested really well for your English score. And she was like, and you had a in your English classes before. So she's like, how about we just make a deal? How about I give you the credit for this English class? Perfect. So you don't have to take it, but you promise to take lots of math over the summer. And I was like, lots of math? And she's like, there's 2 sessions. I need you to take math for both. And then we can discuss the actual math class that you need to take. Oh, so wow. Yeah. So bitch, I am two math classes from the regular math class that I need for my degree. Just shoot me in my face. And she's like, are you planning to transfer? I was like, no. And she's like, okay, well, I have an easy path for you to go. And I was like, okay. And she's like, but like, yeah, let's just do this, okay? Let's just do this route. And then it's going to be really intensive. And I was like, I know it. I just don't use it. She's like, of course you know it. Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it just doesn't have. And then she said, doesn't have good agency. And I was like, have you been reading romance? And she's like, and if you're not using it, then, you know. And I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I was like, I guess I'm just so used to my phone. And they didn't let me use my calculator because that's how basic the math was. But, yeah. So the test is like 30 questions maybe. And, like, it tells you, depending on how you answer, it will figure to get harder or easier. Okay.
Or it plateaus.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
By the end of it, it was like 20% of 6 is. I was like, oh, I'm doing real bad. I'm doing real, real bad. This is not a good sign. So, yeah, she's allowing me to apply my English from my classes before, which technically you're not supposed to because it's only valid if it's 2 years.
It's only 2 years?
Yeah.
That's low.
That's super low.
I always thought it was like 10, but I guess it depends on where you're going and what you're using it for.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And then she's like, I'll even let you use your sociology as your elective. So she's like, so let's just focus on your math, okay? She was so kind, like, I couldn't even be mad. Like, She just
made you laugh even
more. Yeah, I was just like, I'm the biggest idiot. I was like, my dad is rolling over in his grave right now. He is like, how is this my child? And it just reminded me of one of the Cinderella movies. And she was like, how did such an untalented child come from my loins? That's all I could think of when I was talking to her. I was like, shit. That's my funny story to be more uplifting.
It balanced out your English and your math.
Yeah, she was like, let's...
It works
let's,
out.
Let's, yeah, I did.
Can you redo the placement test or math?
I could. No, she said that based on my last math classes, yeah, that I can go ahead and jump into the required math for my degree.
Yeah.
But she was like...
Concerned?
But... Let's just set you up for success.
I love that.
It's like, fuck.
Because you're going to deal with measurements in your degree.
You're going to have to add. I know. It's hard. But you're going to have to add. So let's just get you to start from the beginning. So whatever, the math class she wants me to start with is literally the top. It's the top one because it's the lowest math
in the catalog. No.
I know. It's so embarrassing that it's hilarious. But that's my funny story of the week.
Well, they don't teach us the new way to do math anymore as adults.
When people say I'll mute you at 4:45, all I need to know that it's 4:45. Like, and whenever we talk about fiscal numbers, like, and all that stuff, It's like add and minus. I don't need to know anything else.
Percentages. Give me a calculator.
But the essay portion was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. What was the question?
The question is, does today's generation need to learn about history? And you have to justify why, yes or no, in 600 words or less. I was like, my introduction is going to be 600 words. So you just had to be really concise. And And I was like, I don't know how to write an essay without like an intro and a conclusion and at least 3 points, you know. So there was a lot of deleting. But I did really well with that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Such Probably looking at, like, grammar.
Yeah, grammar, sentence structure. They said my supporting...
Your arguments.
Yeah. Is shoddy. Which I was like, that's the same for the podcast. The concept is there. The structure is there. Everything else in between is real questionable. I was like, okay, that's valid.
Well, who are they to say? Everything is perspective, right?
Exactly. I mean, I was like rethinking when I was driving home. I was like, yeah, it made no sense.
But you passed.
I did. Fine. It's fine. Yeah.
It's the tests are about finding out how to pass the test, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And then it actually requires extra immunizations that I... Maybe it's more since the last time I was here, going to school here. So I've been kind of doing this like scramble to get like all my immunizations because...
How many do you need to get?
My madre. Yeah. Well, I was like, okay, TB for sure, because they always make you do that. And then last time I went back to school, I got my MMRs because my mom didn't know where she put the record. But then now, and she was like, she's so sweet. She's like, you were born and raised here in Hawaii, right? I was like, no. And she's like, oh, then you need to get this. It's Tdap, which is like whooping cough, all that stuff. So I got that shot on Thursday, and chicken pox.
Okay, because you still can get it. Did you get it before?
I got it before, but it was like you don't need this if you were born before 1980. I was like, God damn it!
You just missed it.
So close. So I was like, shucks. So we're trying to do blood tests and stuff like that, and my doctor said that she'll figure it out for me.
To see if the markers are there.
Yeah. But it literally said on the thing that antibiotic body test does not, you know, whatever. So we'll see. Hopefully. She's like, do you remember getting it? I was like, yeah, because I give it to my brother. Sharing is caring. So.
Everything's rolling.
Yeah, everything is rolling.
And you get to laugh about it.
Yeah. A lot. And then, like, it was funny because when I went to go get the booster for the Tdap, the pharmacist was like, oh, are you going to medical school? Because I'm an old ass bitch, like, trying to get my fucking shots, right? And I was like, huh? And then she's like, is this for medical school? I was like, oh, no. She's like, oh, what are you going to school for? And then, like, when I said, I'm going to go for fashion.
Yeah.
That avocado look, right? And then she's like, oh, fun. I was like, bitch, just stabbed me with that needle already. Fucking judging asshole. I was like, whatever. And then, yeah. She's like, this is going to hurt. But, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And then, so that does hamper, because I'm in the qualifying for the vaccine, but...
Yeah.
It does hamper that. I have to wait, and my doctor wants me to wait at least 4 weeks because...
Instead of the required 2.
Yeah, because I'm a special hoe. She's like, your body's a little weird. Is that a medical term, ma'am? She's like, oh, look, I just want to be sure. I was like, okay. She's like, and then the pharmacist was like, you need to wait 2 weeks. And I was like, my doctor said four. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah. She's like, it's just a precaution because we don't know how it, like, you know. And I was like, okay, no, that's totally fine. But your body's a little weird. I was like, fuck you.
Layman's terms.
I was like, oh, yeah, because if she said something else, I'd be like, what? So, but yeah. So, this week we are wrapping up the fairy tale series by Eloisa James. We're going to be covering Once Upon a Tower. And then in our plot tale pondering, we will be discussing With This Kiss. When I say we, I'm going to say Tony. Because I was a sack of potatoes on my bed with my eyes closed listening to IAD for an entire week straight. I didn't do shit. I didn't lift up a book. I'd barely opened my eyes. I just lay there and imagine Lycase and Valkyries. A couple demons and Lothair. I was doing the fucking least this week. So, and all of you guys said it was okay, so that's fine. So we meet Gawain, and he's the Duke of Kinross, and he doesn't like the English lasses because he doesn't know what they do all fucking day. He wants a bonny lass from the Highlands who is loyal and red-blooded, and not the blue-blooded English misses who are cold and boring in his eyes. He goes to a ball and falls in love instantaneously with Edie. She is docile. She smiles. She's serene. She floats. She glides. She doesn't say shit. And when he asks for a second dance in a row, she gives him a quizzical smile and then says, sure, even though it was promised to another man. And he was like, this, she'd have won. And then the next day he came, and as English customaries are, he came to call on his bonny lass and saw that there was hell of people outside, and he's like, what the heck is this? And realizes that last night was her debut ball, and so all these gentlemen were so impressed with her, and so he's like, I'm gonna cut in line, and storms to the butler and is like, where's the father? And Edie goes into her father's study, and he's like, this is who you're marrying. She said, cool. She's like, okay, sounds good. And Gawain is like, okay, well, with that shit settled, I'm going to go take care of banknotes. And just, he's like off. And then we meet Edie upstairs. And she is ready to vomit. Not because she's getting married, but because she's super sick. And that's why she was so successful. Her first night in the marriage mart, she was floating, she was silent, she was docile, she smiled because that was the only way she can keep her vomit inside of her body because she was super ill. We also meet Layla, who is, as Gawain would say, the complete opposite. And she's very luscious, very voluptuous, and she's smoking her cheroot. And she's about 10 years older than Edie. And very, very open about how her marriage sucks. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And so we kind of go to this journey. So the book cover kind of makes you think that that's it. Like, this is how this whole thing starts. But then we go on this, like, fun ride of letter writing. And, penis talk and Romeo and Juliet talk, because it's Eloisa James, how can you not? And then Edie happens to also be the world's best cellist, but because she's a woman, she cannot be. And we meet some crossover people. We meet some Smythe Smiths. We meet the Earl of Chatteris. And it's just an overall such a fun book. What did you think of the story?
I loved it because then we find out love at first sight, and then we find out she has a fever. So I'm like,
it's so good.
From then on, I'm like, I just cannot wait to see what else happens in this.
It's so good. And you know, we've said this on the podcast before, like how many times was a girl ill and that's when all the men started fawning over them?
Because when they're quiet, it means they're mysterious.
Yeah. No. We just don't want to cast up our crumpets.
And then the mention of Smythe Smith, and not just once, like a couple times.
Go through the whole story.
And then they bring up the wall tree.
Yes.
Him and Gawain and Marcus being not wallflowers, but they were trees when they're in the play. It was, I love that.
Yeah.
And, so good.
And it's throughout the entire, we are behind the scenes at Honoria and Marcus's wedding. It's just so good.
I love it.
It was so, so freaking good. And hey, why not?
There were a lot of like really good scenes too. The whole like Romeo and Juliet, Rapunzel, Romeo and Juliet, he climbs up to the balcony.
Yeah.
While the dad is in her room. They're practicing.
Hair ladder. Horse hair. Okay. I know there was some very polarizing reviews because the story was too realistic. I guess that is something that I just didn't really think about, is the whole, like, them losing their virginity, and it's, like, amazing, to where, like, this time around, like, we got a virgin hero, guys, spoiler alert, and you know, he don't know what he's doing.
That's what I love about this book, though.
I know.
It is realistic. Because it's different from a lot of the things that we don't, with a lot of the things that we read.
Yeah.
And that's why I really enjoyed this one. Yeah. Just get something different.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Gawain is so sweet, and he thinks he's like, he just thinks he is the, he got it all. Like, he's like, he has a great wife, she's fun, she's gorgeous, he's satisfying her at night, but he finds out that she's been faking it the whole time. Oh my gosh. So one day at band camp, Layla got super drunk and basically tells Edie the best way to keep your man happy is essentially faking an orgasm. So she fakes a whole ass orgasm in their dining room with the footman standing right there. And so Edie uses that as her tactic to make it seem that she is satisfied. But Gawain knows that she's unhappy, and she thanks the Lord that she's on her period. And you know, so she doesn't have to hump him for 10 days. She's not happy. They're not communicating very well. And yeah, I think to me the most cringy part is him screaming at her after he found out that she's been faking it the whole time.
Yeah, that was bad.
And him calling her a pancake.
And then Layla brings it up in like chapter 39-ish, like what he did. He full on like disrespected her.
Yeah.
Calling her a failure as a mother and as a lover, and just like making her feel so down, so like nothing, especially when Edie doesn't like failing. Same with him, he doesn't like failing either. So.
Right. And they both figure that out, and then, you know, some time apart and so things like that had them figuring it out, and you know, he turned into the thing that he hated the most, which was his dad. And then he used a lot of his past memories against her about, like, being drunk. Like, he hated it. He was so mad about that. And that whole scene about, like, you have to get drunk to enjoy me. And I'm, you know what? A lot of people in the reviews did not like Layla and the dad. So the reviews were very polarizing. It was, like, the whole, like, marital bed thing was too real. And then the whole Layla being so ridiculous was too far-fetched. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's all over the place, but I don't know, I really love Layla. I think it shows a different facet of marriage, of the communication, right? And then also I loved how
they were she, here to serve a purpose.
She fucking put Gowan in his place. And basically, you stole her and robbed her of anything, everything that we're supposed to be good at as women, and at that time, everything that we are told that makes us good as a woman, because she can't be a cellist, right? She can't play that in public or anything like that. And he just basically,
she can't be renowned for it.
Yeah, and so
like professionally.
Yeah, and the thing that you can be known for is a good wife, a good wife and a good mother. And he like took that from her. And so I love that she was like, listen, bitch. And then her dad, Edie's dad, put him on his ass, like fucking socked him in his face. He deserved it.
Yeah. I thought they served a purpose, the parents, though. Because then you have to see like the different sides of things. And I like the fact that Edie and Gowan were, they were young.
They were so young. So, and that's the other thing, too. Yeah. So this week, our how-to is, obviously, how to climb into someone's heart, their bed, their minds, everything. And when he thought he needed to be a certain way, and whatever that way was however humanly possible to be opposite from his parents.
Yes.
So he held that at such high esteem. He didn't realize that he was slowly doing he was robbing himself of his own happiness, you know, is not knowing that he's different and he could be different. And just the beginning of it, where they were writing each other's letters, and like when he like Chatteris told him there's like a horsehair ladder and like bring it to the balcony, and he stood there while the dad is in the room and just listened to her play, and he just got so mesmerized every time she played, and
she loved it.
Yeah, because she didn't really ever get to play for anyone, you know, and
that was a way into her heart. Even when they were married already and she was playing for him, she could see that he enjoyed it.
Yeah, he did. And
that makes her happy, that he enjoys it.
Yes, and just playing in general. And I think that's a big thing, is just like, if you want to win someone's heart, you have to let them do the things that they want to do. And I mean, I guess to a point, but like with her, that was her passion. And when he left her, she turned into that, right? And she was just like, she leaned into her music for escapism. But as Layla said, like, you made her feel like that's the only thing that she can and ever will be good at. And so she stopped eating. She's not, you know, she just locked herself in a tower and she's freaking just playing and playing and playing and playing, because you made her feel that's the only thing that she can do right. So she's like, fuck you.
And then he gets jealous. Yeah. Because he's like, she's not playing for me.
Yeah.
She's playing for other people.
Yeah.
You idiot.
I know. He's such a donkey, but I loved it. And you know what? Like, the whole barmaid scene, which a lot of people had problems with that as well, too. Mm-hmm. He is a young 20-something year-old guy who, you know, in today's age would be like 35, like 22 back then is like today's 35, essentially, who's never had any experience with women, who wouldn't drink alcohol because he refused to be his parents. And now everything that he's done has been right and has been very linear. So, and he chose not to top other women because he wanted to remain chaste for his wife. And then now he's done that all of his life, and she's unsatisfied. She's been faking it, and she needed to get drunk just to bed him. Like, at least that's what he thought. And like, he thought he could go and learn a woman's body, and then she just thought he was gay. So, you know, like, I didn't like that it faded to dark, though, because it made you assume that
they didn't.
They did something.
They did or they didn't. You never know.
You just don't know.
I thought about what, I think it was on Fated Mates, and they brought up Lisa Kleypas. When Sarah was talking to Lisa about dreaming of you, and yeah. then the question was, did Derek sleep with Tabitha?
Yeah.
And then, that's what I thought of with this. Because yeah. then Lisa Kleypas said, it doesn't matter. What matters is you know that he's a soft person.
Yeah.
He has feelings. And I'm like, okay, I like this because it's the same thing. It doesn't matter yeah. if we know if he did it or not. What matters is that we know that
the intention.
Yeah, intention. So many things. He's young. You know, he doesn't have, what is it, like...
Skills
or somebody to look up to. The people he looked yeah. up to.
Were his.
Yeah. So it's about him, like, a lot of things questioning. It's not about if he cheated or not. It wasn't about that.
Yeah.
It's about knowing that he's changing.
Yeah.
And the both of them needed to change. Edie and Gao needed to change.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that's the reason why I like them being young, and then they have to learn
yeah.
this. Like, it's easy to fall in love with somebody's face, but they both had to work on falling in love with each other and learning to live with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Which she did eventually. She's like, you work too much. So he had time. And he made time for her lessons, and it was nice. And to see it as... two young people.
Yeah, I really liked that there was so much growth already during the marriage, and then like he went from not even knowing what a cello is into the end of the story, he took up violin for 3 years.
Yes. Yeah.
That my was good. Heart. I was like and everyone crying.
Like I hit it from her too.
I know. So good. She was just bawling, and that's like that's how I felt because like I took violin for a long time. It is a hard instrument, especially if you're in there playing with these like professionals. Like yeah, essentially, it was. Yeah, I was just I loved that so much. Like to me, if you want to talk about climbing into someone's heart and or like catching their feelings or something like that, things like that is what. You know, like, he doesn't have time in his day. The meals are scheduled. The bedding is scheduled. Everything in his day is completely scheduled. But yet, he took time for 3 years to master a violin. And he was like, I'm never fucking doing that again. And she's like, but I liked it. So he continued to play, but just for her. Like, and to get to the level... to where you can even keep up with
a professional with
three professionals essentially. And like Layla was so cute. She's like, what? He's not, I'm sure he won't want to miss this. So yeah, he's around here somewhere, you know. And I love that. But what was your favorite part in the whole story?
When he climbed up her tower.
Which time? Her tower, yeah. Not her balcony. Yeah. Got it.
Because he was just trying to wiggle back into her life, climb yeah. back into her heart, but yes. but she didn't want to open the door.
No.
So he freaking climbed up her tower with, I think he was his arm was dislocated or something.
Yeah, because he got thrown from a horse yeah. from riding pell-mell to her. But she was like, no, don't do
he
it.
He was so determined. And she's like... I think when she said, like, I don't want you to pretty much die, so get down, I'll open yeah. the door or whatever, but yeah. he kept doing it. He kept going, and he made it after so many centuries or whatever. He was the first one
yeah.
to climb up after so many centuries. No, but I think yeah. I love that. It showed how much he really cared. So it's like, because then she wasn't going to open the door. He wasn't going to wait. He was already how many weeks late because he left and he didn't go back right away.
Yeah.
So he was serious. I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
That's very like fairy tale.
Though. And it's very young love, yeah. right? It's so dramatic. It's like, I never want to see you again, but I better see you tomorrow morning when I wake up. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's cute. And I love it. I love that his assistant was like, I fucking quit.
I know.
I hate you.
His valet.
Yeah. No, not his valet. His facto guy.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes, yes. The guy that that she didn't get along with.
Yeah. And, like, he's like, I fucking quit. You suck. Like, how dare you do that to her? He's like, and I've seen you do really shitty shit, but, like, that was the worst. And I love that even though she was, like, super dramatic and she was like, I'm going to lock myself away in the tower until he comes back and then and then I'm just going to leave. And all of, like, the servants were like,
no.
Yeah. And they were also just, like, anything that she wanted, they were like, okay, we'll bring food to you. We'll do this. And I just love how much everyone loved her and how much they fell entranced and in love with her playing. Mm-hmm. And all the footmen and anybody who had some time off would go under the tower and listen to her. So unbeknownst to her, she had an audience. She had a fan club.
And they were rallying for them.
Yeah. Maybe for themselves because they wanted her to keep playing. But, and I love that Layla had Susanna. I love that part as well too, and you know, speaking of climbing into people's hearts, like Susanna was immediately drawn to Layla and vice versa. It's them cookies, man. You gotta come with the right gifts. It gotta be edible.
Yeah,
it's gotta be edible. So, yeah,
that was nice.
It was,
and to know that Layla's husband, Edie's dad, went all the way from London to go to Layla. Like, she wanted attention from him, but then being so there was not working until she left, and that's when he's like, I miss her.
I
like,
know.
Where's my woman? Where's my lady
that
makes noise?
Yeah.
And I know she's there.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing now. I have nothing in this house. And he went all the way in. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
And, you know, sometimes
out of sight, out of mind doesn't work, right?
Yeah, no. And the other thing as well, too, is sometimes you're just like, God, this is the most annoying, infuriating human ever. And then they leave and you're like, I don't have anyone to fight with. The halls are too quiet. And, you know, like, so. And then at first you're like, oh, this is peace, you know, and then it took him a while too. He was like, bye, you know, but after a while he was like, I'm coming for you. I miss you.
I loved it. And, you know,
I cried.
You knew he was going to go for her eventually because how they were intimate with each other when she got drunk at the ball.
Yeah.
And they saw them like kissing
and being
passionate.
Yeah. And you know, I hear about this a lot. It's just kind of like, as soon as you let go of the pressure of trying to have a baby, it just kind of happens, right? Mm-hmm. So many of my friends have said that, where they gotten appointments to the fertility clinic, they got their consultations, and they were like ready to do it. And then because they have the peace of mind that this is going to happen through other means, all of a sudden they get pregnant. Yeah. Yeah, so
yeah.
I love that. I love that we got like almost a 2.5 happy ending, because, you know, we meet Susanna's future hubbub, you know. So I'm here for that. You know, I'm all about the more romance, the better.
Yeah,
it was really cute, and the way that this series kind of closes out. I know there's still a novella, but the series kind of closes out with this guy that. You know, and it's all about character growth, right? So, like we said earlier, it's just that he went from wanting an extremely orderly life, and everything has to be a certain way, and he didn't even know anything about music, he didn't know anything about cellos, to him taking private lessons for 3 years, making time in his day for the woman that he loves.
I really
liked it. It was so good. And Susanna got to go to a better home. And Layla finally got a baby in more ways than one. And, you know, it's just beautiful.
And just to lighten up, like, this whole story, it was because he was too big. Like, he couldn't fit in her. That made me laugh. I'm like, is this the basis of the story?
Yeah.
Because then, like, it led to them lying and then feeling guilty for, like, holding it in.
Yeah.
And I just, that made me laugh.
No, yeah. And I was like, I think this is hysterical because he's just freaking large. And that's why, like, you know, and that's
and
why
they're each other's first, so he doesn't know.
Yeah, he doesn't know what, like, you know. And the other thing as well too is just kind of like 17-year-old us looking at an anaconda would be like, hell no. But like adult us would be like, hell yeah. So, you know, sometimes you just gotta charm that snake.
But I love Layla. She was just laughing about it too.
Yeah, she
That's
was.
Your problem?
Yeah. That you got a man with a big anaconda. And I think it was funny because there's a little bit of foreshadowing, right? Because he talks about pricks right early in the letters.
Yes.
You know, so God, it's such a good story. So, but yeah, not.
You'll laugh your cry.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, who doesn't want a anaconda climbing up in the. All right, guys, we'll be right back with our pop-up wandering.
Thank you.
Welcome back to our Pottail Pondering. What are we drinking?
So we are having proper number 12 Irish whiskey, which is Conor McGregor's whiskey. But I think 8 days ago, they might have kind of finalized
Cuervo.
Yeah, they sold it to Cuervo's parent company, Beckel.
Wow. Good for him.
Yeah, so nice payday for him and his manager.
Oh, shit. Did they say how much?
And this is according to Maxim.com. That they sold it for 122 million pounds, which equals to 155 million US dollars.
Oh, gosh.
So if those numbers are accurate, then McGregor's total net worth goes up to 300 million.
Wow, good for him.
And they're like, he could lose from now on, or yeah. He doesn't have to fight and he'll still be okay.
Yeah.
So.
No, he's too prideful for that.
I think he's too, like, restless to, like, stop anyway.
Yeah.
So, good for him, but who really knows? I think it's still in the works, but most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
still really good.
Try it. Proper number 12. It
is. So smooth.
Yes.
If you mix it with Diet Coke, it tastes like root beer. It's amazing.
And it is a blend of golden grain and single malt with hints of vanilla, honey, and toasted wood for rich complexity. Check out the website, properwhiskey.com. You'll get information about the story, where you can find it, recipes, and merch. And they do give back. So, yeah.
Awesome. It's so good. It's super, super smooth, super delicious. I love it. I love it, love it. So, Tony also read With This Kiss, which is a novella, which is in a kind of like a anthology book called As You Wish, which will have Seduced Me by a Pirate as well. There's a couple novellas that didn't make it into the As You Wish, but at least Seduced by a Pirate is in there. What did you think of the story?
So this story, it's about the kids of Sir Griffin Barry, right? From Seduced Me by a Pirate, and the kids of Theo and James, so the Duke.
Oh, that makes sense why Seduced Me by a Pirate's in there then.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
So I remember that Sir Griffin Barry, he has adoptive kids. The first three, the eldest ones, are adoptive kids. And I want you to read this, so I'm going to tell you how I felt about it.
Okay. So just once again, I didn't get to it because I was a sack of potatoes on my bed and never opened my eyes or lift anything.
It's a good thing you didn't read it, though, I think.
Really?
Because I cried. I got really emotional. Oh. So I didn't want to add to it, like, by making you read it. It was a roller coaster. I loved it. It's about the eldest child of...
Like, Conrad losing Naomi's crying? Or, like...
Oh, no, not like that.
Okay. I just held my breath because that was intense.
It's a different kind of crying because it's about like a childhood crush growing.
Oh, yeah.
And then Grace thinking that her crush, which is Colin, the eldest of Sir Barry's adoptive kids. Mm-hmm. She thinks that he fell in love with her sister, who's the extroverted one. Aww. And she's a more introverted, like, waffler. Like, she doesn't care, but she's a great painter. And it's about that, like, misunderstandings. And just, there's a point where you don't even want Colin for her sister. And it goes back and forth. Like, I still love him, but I gotta let him go. And then he's like, I am so dumb. I want her now. And then when they're together again, like, I don't, I can't be with her. Like, yeah, like, just, I think a little bit more. Because then, like, when he figures out that he wants to be with her, she's already engaged. And then something happens, so he has to go back home. And he's like, I don't want to be with her anymore. I don't want to burden her. So it's really like a roller coaster.
Oh, got it.
But of course, it ends with them being together.
It better.
But there's a point where they're together, together. And then she's like, no, I know we've been together, but I don't want to be with you because I think you thought you're with my sister. So like old, like wounds coming back, but they had to just kind of work it out.
Yeah. Aww.
But it's cute. But it is a roller coaster, and I loved it. Mm. That whole crying thing all happened in the first part. It ends with her kind of letting him go. I think she's already engaged in the second one. And then the third one is them trying to, like, figure things out.
Mm.
And try to get married and stuff. But it's a whole, like, it's a journey. It's a full-on journey from crush to, like, love and, like, heartbreak. I loved it.
That's amazing. That sounds so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right now, audiobooks is where my life is at. I just like to lay in the bed as still as possible and just let life happen to me in my brain. just, and then I listen to one AirPod at a time, so once that dies, I switch it over to the next AirPod and let the other one charge, and that's just like a whole continual thing. It's a thing. And
well, yeah, this one doesn't have an audio.
Yeah, so like I said, that's what I've been just doing, and I wasn't able to get to that book yet, so I do apologize.
No, but like I said, it's good that you didn't read it, because you would have cried more.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
but I will get to it, and depending on our schedule this year, we would love to read more Eloisa James's books, but she does have a book coming out, Wild Child. You can pre-order it at ubookstores.com, and not only will it come autographed, you will also get a ticket to a special Julia Quinn Eloisa James event, and there'll be other authors there as well, too. We're really excited for that. Of course, we signed up. of course, we bought the books. Of course. And the thing is, it has to be one of the other authors, which includes Eloisa James and not Julia Quinn's. But if you do purchase a Julia Quinn book, it will come autographed as well, because everything from that store will come autographed. We are so excited. We have a special treat for you guys next week. We have Angelique Calzes, better known to a lot of you guys as The Lovely Bibliophile on Instagram. She just dropped, her surprise drop actually, just came out of nowhere, Christmas at the Dover. She's been working on it for a while. It is book two in the Virtuous Ladies and Rakish Lords series. Book one was Tempted by Curiosity. We did cover that book last year. If you guys want to check it out, Tony will link it in the show notes for you to clickety click click. But she will be joining us. We'll be doing some of our favorite M's, Sarah McLean and drinking some Macallan. So we're really excited. We wanted to get some friends of the pod on. It's been taking a lot of figuring out, aka I just need to send messages. This year is getting away from me. We wanted to do this since January, and we're really excited that it's April, and we'll be finally able to do it. Yeah,
the season has started.
The actual season has started. We are going to start having callers, and we're really excited. She said that this next book, if you guys listen to our coverage of Tempted by Curiosity. I wanted Chelsea Buns for like 3 months. She still tempts
us with Chelsea Buns from time to time.
Oh my gosh. And even Sarah McLean posted it. I was like, oh, suck it, I need these. And I was like, she just tagged us on a post recently, and she's like, sorry, Wendy, not sorry. And she's like, there's even more desserts, more treats in this book, so we're really excited to read it. I'm waiting for Amazon to deliver my book. Please. So I will pick up a book for this one. So we're really excited to talk to Angelique. She will be joining us for our how-to while we jump into a Sarah McLean series as we...
Yay.
Gear up for Bombshell, which drops later this year. We're super stoked on that. Thank you, guys. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your support during the flooding and the monsoon that took over. And thank you for all your kind words and thoughts and prayers for everything that's been happening. And thank you for understanding that we needed to take a little time off from social media and posting as well, too. We love you guys. We're so happy we got to meet you guys. And we're really stoked to jump into Sarah McLean. I'm super excited that Tony finally got to read Eloisa James.
Loved it.
It was such a fun ride.
I think I'm going to say it's a must read. You might hate me for that, but it's a must read for everyone.
And the last time I read the series is when it first came out. So that's how long ago? Like 2012, maybe?
Wow.
Yeah, 2013, mm-hmm. perhaps?
Well, it was so much fun. The historical romance case.
True.
So. It's a lot to catch up on.
I have a lot to catch up on, and I've been reading it steadily. So we love you guys. We love you guys so much. If you're not following us, please follow us on Lit While Flowers Podcast. Once again, we will have a giveaway with the lovely UTC book blog. I haven't asked yet. But I'm sure she'll say yes. She's such a sweetheart.
I think she loves that by now.
I know. Right? She's like, I left my calendar open. But thank you, guys. We love you. Look out for the giveaway. And be ready for Angelique.
Yeah.
we'll probably do a fun little fuck, marry, kill game with her. We'll have some fun drinking our Macallans while discussing McLean. We love you guys.
Thank you, folks.
Thanks for everything. Bye.